lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It is a good life living for the Lord. And I'm glad you're able to join me today for It's a Good Life, where we're studying through the book of Acts. Well, if you've been listening and you've been following along, you know that we've talked about, we just got started in the book of Acts. And we've seen that something happened, something marvelous happened, and we're going to see more about this as we study this book. And we've seen how that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came. But you see, there was another great promise given in Acts chapter 1. And it's found in verse 11. Jesus had just ascended, in other words, he'd gone up into heaven. And as the disciples were looking up into heaven, two angels spoke to them and gave them a wonderful promise. This same Jesus who went up is going to come again. And we see in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, the promise of Christ's coming. In Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You see, in the same way that he went up, so he will come down. And I'd like to illustrate this as follows in these scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In John chapter 16 and verse 10, it says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. But notice Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 now. And when he had spoken these things, this is Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Well, Jesus is coming again. He's coming for us who are saved in the rapture of the church. When he says, come up hither, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, come up hither. That's for those people who are alive, who are saved at that time. He's coming, and he's going to receive them in heaven into the clouds. But notice Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. There's a difference in the rapture of the church when joy will be for all those who have trusted him as Savior and who are alive at that time. But there's coming a time when people will be wailing because Jesus is coming back, not as the Lamb, but as the Judge. He's coming back. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Only those people who are saved will see Jesus at the rapture, but every eye is going to see him when he comes back the second time to this earth. And says, and they also which pierced him, they will see him. All those people who have not trusted Jesus Christ, they're going to see him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. There's going to be great sadness for the people of this world who have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior when he comes back the second time. The rapture is not the second time that Jesus is coming back. That is the time of the rapture. The second time, he's coming back and every eye shall see him. Well, notice with me, if you would, the day of Pentecost. You see, God promised that there would come a day when he would send his Holy Spirit. And this great event happened on the day of Pentecost. We read about that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. You see, the Jewish people had three great feasts held every year, the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Pentecost. There were other feasts also, but these were the most important ones. Pentecost was one of these great feast days, and Jews from all over the Roman Empire would gather to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate this important feast. Now, this important day is described in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 22. It was a special day in Old Testament times. Just as we read Acts chapter 2, we see that this day became even more special. You see, 50 days after Jesus rose again from the dead, and 10 days after Jesus went back to heaven, God did something wonderful. He sent the Holy Spirit to live in the hearts of believers and to form something brand new. That something brand new is the church. Well, there are four unusual happenings I will call your attention to as we study this. See, God wanted to make it very clear that this was an extra special day, Pentecost. God was doing something wonderful, and He wanted people to know about it. There were three extra special things which God did on the day of Pentecost. First, I see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2 where it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." There was a great noise. And as believers were together on the day of Pentecost, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, the noise, which was like a mighty rushing wind. This noise did not come from a hurricane or a storm, but it came from heaven. God wanted everyone to know that He was doing something very special, something very unique. Well, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is compared to wind. In John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." You see, we do not know everything. We're not going to know everything about the Spirit of God, about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, until we're with them. We don't know everything. But the Bible says that Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And the Spirit, once a person is born again, comes to live within the person. But as we read about the wind coming on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming as a rushing mighty wind, the sound of, we think of this. The wind is invisible. We can't see it. But the invisible wind is able to do amazing things. It pushes a sailboat across the lake and keeps a kite high in the air, turns a windmill, and does many other things. We can't see the wind, but we can see what the wind does. The Holy Spirit is invisible. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. When God sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, He caused a great noise to be heard like the wind. He wanted the disciples to know that something very special was happening. If God had not done this, the disciples might have said something like this, "Well, I wonder if the Holy Spirit really came. We didn't see anything, and we didn't hear anything. Did something really happen?" Well, God made it very clear on that day that something special was happening. Something took place on that day, and He wanted people to know that the Holy Spirit had come. And notice something else in Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. It talks about tongues like fire. It says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them." It wasn't fire, it was like as of fire, and it looked like fire according to that verse. You see, not only could the disciples hear something amazing, but they could also see something amazing. They could see tongues like of fire. It looked like fire. These tongues separated and came to rest upon each believer that was there. God was doing something very special. You see, God wants to light up each believer with the flame of His wonderful presence. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, God was doing a work in each believer, and not one was left out. Every disciple had a tongue like a flame of fire resting over him. God wanted everyone to know that He was doing something special and that every believer was included in this special work. And if you know Jesus today as your Savior, He's doing something special with you. He wants to do something extra special. And that extra special can come through the power of the Holy Spirit who's come to live with you according to the Word of God. Now notice also that there were different languages present on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Well, God did something else very special on that day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 that we've read, we learned that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, in other words, different languages. If you'll read Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 11, you'll read about this and see exactly what this meant. God enabled these people of Galilee to speak in many different languages, languages which they had never learned and did not even know. God was doing something unusual on this day. You see, there were many, many different nationalities. I'm going to say nationalities, many different nations represented there, different languages. And God wanted every person to be able to hear the plan of salvation. And so therefore, he made it possible for every language present there, different languages, to hear in their own tongue, their own language, the plan of salvation. Well, not only were there different languages present that day, but I see something else. There was a coward there. And he was no longer a coward at this point, because this coward turns out to be a courageous preacher. In Luke chapter 22, verses 55 through 62, it says this: "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a while another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." We see Peter the coward there. But notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, we see Peter the courageous preacher. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words.'" We're going to read later on how that there were over 3,000 people saved on that day. Why? Because Peter preached the word of God. Why? Because God saved them. God did a great work in Peter's heart. God who changed Peter is the God who can change us too, by the power of his Holy Spirit. If you do not know him today as your Savior, you need to ask him to come into your heart. The Bible says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of the children of God," to all those who would believe on him, all of those people who would ask him to come to live with them. And you see, the Holy Spirit comes within us when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Something remarkable happens. The Bible says it's the new birth. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "How can I go to heaven?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must know that you have to be changed on the inside. You see, this old body is going to die, but the real person within is going to live one of two places. The first place, if a person does not ask Jesus into the heart, that first place is called a place of hell, where the worm dieth not, the Bible says. And then there's coming a time when hell and death and all those in hell will be cast into the lake of fire. There's never going to be a time of escape from the burning fire that's going to engulf the people. They will never die. They will be there throughout all eternity, suffering. But thank God, everyone who trusts Jesus as Savior, we will be with Jesus forever. And he says, "Come into my joy. Come into your joy. Come in and enjoy the things of God." Jesus invites you today to come to him, to live for him, to trust him as your Savior. Next time, we'll pick up where we're leaving off in the book of Acts. May the Lord bless you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.